Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Arnold Herman, Aaron Chaim Ben Tzvi Aryeh. All the Neshamas we learn from should have an Aliyah. We begin with the Gemara, Omer Abaye, which is about 10-15 lines down. We had a discussion yesterday, Machlokes, which the Gemara now says is going to be Kitanoi. Rashi explains what is this Machlokes Tanoi. This is this discussion we had yesterday with the Amoraim is now today going to be seen in the Tanoim. And that is, Rashi says in Dibur Masu Kitanoi, Nefel Gomor. If you have a Vaday Nefel, a child Nebuch that is not going to survive for 30 days, it's a Nefel. So how do we view that child in Halacha while he's still alive from a biological point of view, but is considered in Halacha as a Nefel? So Im Choshev Kemeis, do we or do we not say we view this child while he's alive as being like a mace? As we had Kedoma Ravada Bar Ava, the Eino Elo Mechatech Basar. Ravada Bar Ava said, in a suffix situation like this, we're allowed to do the bris milah because of Mimanushach, that if the child is really viable, and we're not sure if it's a 7 or 8 month child, so then if the child's really a 7 month child, which we said is viable, so then you're doing a proper bris milah on Shabbos. It's the 8th day, it's Docha Shabbos. If the child Nebuch is a Nefel, it's an 8 month child, which we said by definition in those days was not viable, so then it's no different than Imlav Mechatech Bosuhu. So that was the opinion of Ravada Bar Ava, and his colleagues disagreed with him. So therefore, that machlokes is kitanoi. We have now tanoim that say this. Amar Abaye, again, we pick up about 10-15 lines down from the top. Amar Abaye, kitanoi. The pasuk is actioned in the following way. If you have an animal that dies, so it is amongst those animals that you're allowed to eat in that species, so what is the halach in this situation? The pasuk is telling us extra words over here. We already know if it's an animal that you're allowed to eat, so of course it's asher hi lochem liyochlo. So there are extra words that need to be darshan. So the Tanakhama darshans it as follows. It's coming to teach us lohavi ben shmona she'ein shchitosu mitaroso. This is telling us that if you go shecht a kosher species animal, but this animal was born in the 8th month. Just like human beings, we have a 9 month gestation that we said is normal, and 8 months is not considered viable in human beings. So the larger animals, the behemoths, like a cow, they also have a 9 month gestation period. And the same rules apply to the cows as it does to humans, in the sense that if it's an 8 month baby, it was born after 8 months. So this baby cow, this egel, is not considered viable, and therefore, if you were to shecht this, so this ben shmona, this 8 month pregnancy gestation cow, ein shchitosu mitaroso, it's still considered a nevela, and it doesn't lose this status of being nevela. In other words, when it dies, it has tumas nevela, even though you shecht it. If you have a trefa, an animal that has one of the blemishes, the yud has trefos, that make an animal into a trefa, so it's not kosher to eat, even if you shecht it. But if you shecht a trefa, so the animal will not be a nevela, will not have tumas nevela. It won't be kosher to eat, but it won't have tumas nevela. As opposed to, if you shecht this 8 month gestation baby cow, so it will not lose its status of being a nevela, tumas nevela, by shechting it. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. And he dashes this from the extra words, Asher hi lochem liyochlo. Rashi goes through this in some detail. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yelaz, Rav Shimon, they disagree with the Tanakhama. Omim, they say, no, shtitoso mitaroso. They say that if you shecht such an 8 month gestation baby cow, so it will in fact lose its tumas nevela when you shecht it, and it will be a non-kosher cow that was shechted and doesn't have a tumas nevela attached to it. But, of course, you can't eat it. Shchitaso mitaroso. It removes the shlita in this situation. It does remove the tumas nevela, just like it does by a trefa. So you have the Tanakhama that says you can shecht this animal, but it won't lose its tumas nevela. And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, they say if you shecht this 8 month gestation baby cow, it will lose its tumas nevela. My lad, the Gemara says, b'chol kamifli, aren't they arguing exactly our point? Ravada Bar Ava and his colleagues, the Mar Sovar. This opinion, this latter opinion of Rav Yosef Yehuda and Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, that says chayhu, that this is considered a live animal, and therefore if you shecht it, it will lose its status of being a nevela. It may not be kosher because it is a trefa like in the fact that it's 8 months gestation, but if you shecht the trefa, it loses its tumas nevela. So to here, you lose its tumas nevela. So that's what they hold. And as a result, they disagree with Rav Ada Bar Ava and say it's not mechatech basar. You can't just go cut this. This is a live child in halacha. And therefore, if you're doing the bris milah and you're not mechuyev to on Shabbos, you are over isurim. On the other hand, the opinion of the Tanakhama, Umar Sava Mesu, the Tanakhama holds the opinion of Ravada Barava. Ravada Barava holds the opinion of the Tanakhama. And therefore, if it's considered already a Nathel in its lifetime, it's not considered Chai in the sense that we don't view it in Halacha as being viable to the extent that we don't view it right now that the Shechita can be Metaharit from its Tumas Nevela. So too, on Shabbos, you can do the Bris Mila because if it's viable, Gesundheit, you did the Bris Mila on a 7-month baby. If it really was an 8-month baby, so all you did was Mechatech Basar. So let us say this Machlokas yesterday from Ravada Barava and his colleagues is exactly the same as the Machlokas over here between the Tanakama who holds like Ravada Barava and the other Tanoim who hold like the Chacham, that disagree with Ravada Barava. So Rava says, no, not necessarily so. This was a biased suggestion, but I disagree. Omar Rava, Ihachi, if what you're saying is correct, so why are they arguing over here about Tum and Tara? They should argue about kosher or not kosher. If this is a proper shechita, according to the opinion of Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, it's a perfectly good shechita, so that if it's able to remove the Tumas Nevela over here and make it not a Nathel and not a Nevela, so there's no Tumas Nevela, so why doesn't it make it kosher? So Gemara says, Rava says, Elo D'Kuli Amar Mesu. Everybody, in fact, holds it's not, this machlokus over here between the Tanoim is not paralleling Ravada Barava's machlokus with his colleagues. Elo D'Kuli Amar Mesu. In fact, everybody in this Braisa says that the 8-month calf that's born after an 8-month gestation is halachically considered mace. So, what do they argue about? Rabbi Yosef, Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Savri Kitrefa. They say that even though it's considered a mace, but it's like a trefa, which is also considered a mace to a certain extent, that trefa, lav afogab de mace, even though it's considered halachically a mace, shchitasuk bitarasa, the shchita can go and remove the tumas nevela. So tovia, hochanami, loshna. So why should it be any different? A trefa and this 8-month gestation cow are both physically alive, albeit the halachically considered kemes, but in this situation, the shchita can remove its nevela status. However, you're not allowed to eat it because it's still considered a trefa. So therefore, there is no reason for them to say anything about being able to eat it because that certainly can't be done. And the Tanakam and the Rabbanan say, lo domi le trefa. They say, no, it's not exactly the same thing as a trefa. Why not? Trefa, hoysa lo shasa kosher. A trefa became a trefa. A trefa, let's say, that got some sort of an injury and now it's a trefa. So until it got the injury, it was perfectly edible. This 8-month gestation was born never being edible with shchita. And that's why there's a difference over here. And that's why the Tanakhama says that if you do a shchita on this animal, it will not be metaret from its nevela status. Hi, lohay solo shasa kosher, because this 8-month gestation never had a shasa kosher, as opposed to a trefa that did have a shasa kosher, it then became a trefa, and that's why the shchita will still work to remove it. So they're not arguing what Ravada Barava did. So Gemara says, well, you're going to tell me, the chitema, trade for me, better my kilometer. So that's great if it has an injury. It's a 2-year-old cow and it gets an injury. So it was until now able to be shechted and be kosher to eat. And now it gets an injury. So you can't shecht it to make it kosher to eat, but you can shecht it still to remove its tumas nevela because it's a trefa. So the Gemara says, you're going to tell me that's great if it has an injury when it's 2 years old. But what about if it's born with this trefa status? That never had a shasa kosher. So what would you say to that? So Rabbi would answer, no, because there are cows that aren't trefas, and therefore they can, in fact, be shechted. So therefore, you can also shecht this trefa cow, even if it was a trefa from birth. As opposed to when we're dealing with the 8-month gestation cow, there is no such thing as an 8-month cow ever being kosher. So therefore, it doesn't have in its category, in its class, any type of ability to be kashered with shchita, and therefore the shchita will not remove the tumas nevela that would ensue after you shecht this 8-month gestation cow. That's how Rava would describe this machlokes tanoim, and not parallelly Ravada Barava and his colleagues. Now Gemara says, Yibaylu, they asked in the Reis Medrash, Mi pligi rabbanon aleidu Rav Shimon ben Gamliel olo. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, brought this down the end of yesterday's daf. Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, he said, by a human being, it's 30 days requiring it to be taken out of the nafel status, based upon the psukim, and by an animal, shmonas yomim bebehema, eino nafel, until an animal has 8 days of life, it's still considered a nafel. From the 8th day and on, shenemar miyom shmin vahala, yeh rotzeh, it's allowed to be brought as a korban, you're allowed to go and shech the animal. So now Gemara is asking, do the Chacham argue with this statement of Shimon Gamliel or not? So Imtim say Lomar Pligi, if you say that they argue, then we ask another question. Halacha Kamoso, do we pass like Shimon Gamliel or not? Oh, and Halacha Kamoso. Assuming there is an argument, do we pass like Shimon Gamliel or not? If there's no argument, then there's no question. Of course we pass like him. So Gemara says the following raya, Toshma. Egil Shinola B'yontif. If you have a baby cow, a calf, that is born on Yontif. Shochtan, so Yontif. You'll have to go Shechtan on Yontif. Now, it was just born on Yontif, so it's a one-day-old animal, didn't reach 8 days. So, obviously, the Chachamim in this Braisa argue, Shimon Gamliel says you're not allowed to Shechtan before day 8, because it's possibly an Eifel, and therefore it's like a Treifa, and therefore it isn't going to be kashered by the Shechita. You can't go and eat such an animal. But here it says that the animal was born on Yontif and Shechtan on Yontif, and that's allowed. Clearly, the Chachamim argue with Shimon Gamliel, but it says not necessarily so. Chacham Ayaskin, you know why? The Kim Lei Begaveh Shekolu Chadoshim. In this Braisa, we're talking about that they knew it wasn't an Eifel. They could tell that this was a 9-month gestation. It was a viable animal. If the animal is mature and complete in various physical characteristics, so that is proof. You don't have to wait the 8 days to show that it was mature. You can say definitively that it's a mature, viable vlad on day one, and therefore you'll have to go and shecht it. You can't bring it as a carbon, but you'll have to go and shecht it. So there's no raya that the Chacham argue with Rav Shimon Gamliel from this braisa. Try again. Toshma, a different braisa says almost the same thing. Vishavin, everybody agrees. Now this everybody is Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, because this is a machlokis in regarding a bechor. And a bechor requires a mum in order to go and be able to be eaten outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Otherwise, if it's tamim, it has to be in the time of Beis HaMikdash. You have to shecht it and bring his requirement to Beis HaMikdash. But if he gets a mum, then the kohen can go eat it by himself. So there's a machlokis in regards to Yehuda and Shimon. Are you allowed to go and see such an animal on Yontif to check to say, yes, definitively, it has a mum, or no, it doesn't? Rav Yehuda says that in general, if it gets a mum on Yontif, the Chachamim are allowed to go and declare that it's a mum, and therefore it could be shechted on Yontif. Rav Shimon disagrees. But Vishavin, everybody agrees in this situation, Shim Noladhu Umumo Imo, if the baby is born and the basin is there, and they declare that, yes, this is a mum, it's born with a certain mum that doesn't make it a treifa, but makes it no longer eligible to be brought as a Bechor, so it's still kosher if you shecht it, but it can't be brought as a carbon. So this is exactly the case of a Bechor that has a mum that you're allowed to go and eat. So therefore, if it's born on Yontif, both Rabbi Yehuda and even Rabbi Shimon say, Shezeh min ha-muchan. It's considered muchan. It's considered that it has the ability to be shechted on Yontif, even though it's born that day. So you see, you don't have to wait 8 days. So obviously, this Brice of the Chacham argued with Shimon Gamliel. Again, the Gemara says, no. Hachanami shekalulu chadoshim. No, you could clearly tell that this mum was a fully mature mum. There's no suffix over here that it wasn't a full gestation. They could tell by the physical characteristics, and therefore, this is not an exception to the rule. This is part of the rule, that when you don't know for certain, then you have to wait 8 days. But if you do know for certain, you can shecht it even day one, even according to Shimon Gamliel. Try again. Toshma, here it says Beferish. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rishvur. Here, now this is not a Braisa. We're bringing down over here a statement that Rav Yehuda makes in the name of Shmuel. Halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. So he passes that halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, implying that halacha mikal depligi. Obviously, somebody argues with him, otherwise he wouldn't say that halacha is like him. He would just say, this is the halacha. So the fact that the Amora, Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, tells us that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, it must be that there is a Tanakama, or there is an opinion that argues with Rav Shimon Gamliel, Shema Mino, that is a good proof. Gemara continues and says, Amar Abaye, what about the following scenario? Nafal min hagag, if a baby nebuch that is not yet 30 days old falls off the roof and it dies. So was it a nafel or was it not a nafel? Oh, acholo ari, or a lion, Rachmana Litzlan, ate it. So we don't know what the status of this baby was. Would it have lived 30 days or not? In both of these situations, the baby died from a non-intrinsic problem, so we can't tell it was a nafel or not from itself, but it fell off the roof, was eaten by a lion. These had nothing to do with whether it would have been a nafel on its own or would have lived on its own. So in this situation, Abai says, Diri, I call everybody, both Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chacham agree, Chayu. As Rashi points out, Divri HaKol B'cheskas Kolulo Chadoshiv Koi, we can assume that this child, we have no reason to suspect otherwise, had completed its gestation and was a fully viable child, and which has halacha l'maisa and ramifications. If Nebuch, her husband, were to have died after this child was born, but he died before the child died, so then she would not fall Yibam to her brother-in-law, to her dead husband's brother, because they had a child during his lifetime. But if we say that this wasn't a viable child, then at least there would be a suffix over here, was it a viable child or not? And then she wouldn't be able to do Yibam because maybe it was a viable child and then it would be an Issa relationship with her brother-in-law. But she can't go and marry somebody without having Chalitza because maybe it wasn't a viable child and therefore her husband died childless and she falls Yibam. So you can't do Yibam, but you should have to do Chalitza. So they only argue that that's clear. Everybody agrees to that. Ki pligi shepihek umes. When the difference would be if this child, before the lion ate it or before it fell off the roof, it had some sort of evidence that it wasn't fully mature, it might have been an navel, because it pihek. Rashi explains pihek means klomar le'achar le'do. So after it was born, lo robo elochius ma'at, shepihek umes. This child in this situation had some sort of a condition that demonstrated that it didn't have such chiyus. Pihek means something like a yawn. We don't exactly understand how that would imply that the child wasn't considered fully viable. It must have been that it had some trouble breathing, maybe. And here, in this situation, that's where they have a machlokas, the Chachamim and Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. Mar sovar, the Chachamim hold chayu. No, we view this child as chay, and therefore, even though it was pihek, it still is considered alive. It has a certain level of chiyus to it, albeit this is only a chiyus ma'at, and therefore, since it's considered alive, the subsequent death of this child was in a child that we follow the rov, and rov of the children are considered alive. So this death that occurred afterwards is considered like the lion eating it, and therefore, you're left in a suffix situation. Maybe it was a viable child, maybe it wasn't. Umar Savar, but Rishon Galil says, no, Mesu, this child, Pihek, it never really had Chiyus, it is a Vadai Nefel, and therefore, it is considered not that it ever was alive. So someone says, L'may Nafkamina, what difference does it make? It sounds like this is a moot argument. No, someone says, Liv Torah Na'ibam, what I already mentioned before, this is where I got it from, the Gemara. Would this child require Yibam? According to Rishon Galil, the child had only Kitsas Miut Chiyus, it only had a little bit of life to it, therefore, he would say that this woman definitely requires chalitza. We wouldn't let her do yibam because, again, maybe it's a safek, according to Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. It's not viable, but it was alive, so therefore we don't know because it died afterwards. But you wouldn't be able to do yibam, but you'd have to do chalitza. But according to the Chachamim that said this is definitely chai, it is considered a viable child, and this piyek doesn't ruin it. It is a viable child. So then this woman, her husband didn't die childless, and therefore would absolutely not even require chalitza. This is the way Abaye understood the machlokas between Rosh Hashanah Gamliel and the Chachamim in this brisa. Now, Nafal min ha'gag, the Gemara says, O'acholo Ari, if the child fell off the roof or a lion ate it within the first 30 days of life, diri akol chayu. Abaye said, everybody says that in this situation it's considered to be a definitely viable child, it's chai, and therefore it would be definitely not requiring this woman to undergo yibam or chalitza. The Gemara says, that's not true. For a papa, Rav Huna Brei, Rav Yeshua, Iklu Levei Brei, the Rav Idi Bar Oven. These two, Chacham, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, went to the house of the son of Rav Idi Bar Oven, and in their honor, he prepared for them V'Avid Lahu Igla Tilsa. Now, Igla Tilsa elsewhere is described as the choicest type of meat. It's described elsewhere as being either the third born calf, or a calf that's a third grown, or a calf that's 3 years old. So, the Shar Mitzvot Ba'alach says none of those really apply over here. It's certainly not 3 years old. We're talking about it's within the first 8 days of life. And we'll see it's on B'yumamash Teshiva. It was on the seventh day of its life. And therefore, it can't be a third grown. It can't be 3 years old. It could possibly have been the third child born to this mother. But the Shar Mitzvot Ba'alach says that sometimes Igla Tilsa can mean different things in different contexts. In any event, he wanted to honor these two Chachamim by bringing them this fancy filet mignon, this fancy Igla Tilsa. And they said to him, this is a seven-day-old cow, which we hold is not yet viable. Therefore, e is rechisule, if you had only waited ad la'urta until tonight, in other words, the eighth day, then we would be happy to enjoy this wonderful, nice gift that you're giving us with you. However, but since you shafted it before 8 days, we do not eat it because we don't know for certain that it's a viable cow. It may be the equivalent of a trefa, and therefore it's not kosher, even if you shafted it. So why is this a kasha against Abaye? Abaye said, if a healthy child, with no reason to suspect that it's an eifel, falls off the roof or is eaten by a lion, so divri akol, he said, everybody considers that this child was a viable child. Now here, there's nothing obviously wrong with this animal, this iglotilsa, over here by day seven. And when they shechted it, that should be the equivalent of like a lion ate it, or the child fell off the roof. And yet you see that these chachamim didn't want to eat from an iglotilsa, so how can you say vishavin that everybody agrees that you can? Shmuel says, you're right. We have to change around what we said. Everything that we just said is incorrect. Ella, in the case, when the child had this ktsas chiyus, it clearly had a ma'at chiyus. It had something clearly wrong with it by this piyek, so then divri hakol mesu. That's clear evidence that this child is not viable, and this child, therefore, is never considered being alive, and this mother would certainly have to undergo chalitza. Everybody would agree to that. Keep lige. The machlokis is on the first part, which we before said vishavin. No, that's where the machlokis is. Keep lige. Benafel min hagag. We have a perfectly, what we think is a perfectly healthy child, but it hasn't lived 30 days because it fell off the roof or a lion ate it. In this situation, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, marasavar mesu. He says, no, this was a child that did not live 30 days. Therefore, we have to presume the worst, and we have to assume that it was a nefel, and therefore, the mother would require chalitz in this situation. However, the chachamim, who argue with Shimon Gamliel, say, umar savar chayu. No, we have no reason to suspect that this wouldn't be like the majority of children, and it's viable. In this situation, the mother would not require yibum or chalitza, and she's muteris lashuk. That's the proper way to understand that machlokes. Maisa Shoya, Berei, the son of Ravdimi Bar Yosef, isyalid le hau yinuka. He had a baby boy. But Nebuch, the child died, begot losin yomin shriv. It died, Nebuch, during the first 30 days of life. Yosef, komis abel ilove. And he, Nebuch, he sat shiva for this child. He was in avelis for the child. So his father told him, Ravdimi Bar Yosef said to his son about the Nebuch, the grandson that had passed away. So he told him, Amle Avua, his father told his son, who lost the son, Savrudiso Kabois Lamechal, do you really like to eat arbis? Do you really like to eat, Rashi says, Matamim Shemachilim Eso Evel, the special foods that we give to a person, Nebuch and Avelus, right? We give them arbis, we give them eggs. So you really want to eat the Avelim's food? Is that why you're sitting here and sitting Shiva while you're mourning? This child is not considered a viable child, and we don't sit shiva for a child that died within the first 30 days of life. But the son said to the father, he said to Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, Omalei, he told his father, Kimle Bei Shekolu Lo Chadashav. I know for a fact that this child was viable. I know for a fact that this was an absolutely mature child, and it was a 9-month pregnancy, and therefore I'm sitting shiva because this is a viable child. Some of the Mefarshim explain that how did he know this? Because he only had relations with his wife exactly 9 months beforehand, and then, for whatever the reason, he didn't have relations with his wife, and therefore, he could guarantee that this child had the 9-month maturation process in utero. It was a full gestation, and therefore, one can assume that this is a viable child. Likewise, Rav Ashi, Ikla Bei Rav Kahana. One time Rav Ashi went to Rav Kahana's house, and Isra Bei Milsa, Nebuch, a bad thing happened to him, which means that he lost his son, and begot losin yomim. And this happened during the first 30 days of the child's life. So Rav Kahana lost his son, Nebuch, during the first 30 days of life. And Rav Ashi saw, Chazi de Yosef, become a savali lobe. Rav Ashi saw that Rav Kahana was sitting shiva for the child. So Amalei, he said to him, don't you hold, lo sovele mar, hold on review the Mashul, don't you hold, like review the Mashul said, that the loch is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that we are concerned over here that this is a nefel, and therefore, if it's a nefel, you don't have to sit shiva. So Amalei, so he told him, no, kimle begavei, shekolu l'chadoshu. Again, I know for a fact that this was a full-term pregnancy, and therefore, you go after the vast majority of these full-term pregnancies that are going to be viable children, Baruch Hashem, and therefore, I have an obligation to go and be misavel over here for this child, Nebuch, that passed away. Itmar, the Gemara says, Meis b'soch shloshim, if a baby dies within the first 30 days of life, in this situation, for omdo v'niskatcha, so his wife, who had no other children from this man, in other words, if they didn't have a viable child now, she would have fallen yibum to her brother-in-law, her dead husband's brother, through the dinim of yibum. So in this situation, meis b'soch shloshim, that's the gersa that we have, the child died within 30 days. So we have a question, was he viable or not? Tosus has a gersa in Bechoros, you see this in the Mesoros Hashas here, he says that it should be b'soch shloshim, at the end of the 30-day period of time. In any event, what did the mother do? She went and accepted kedushin from another person before getting chalitza from her ex-brother-in-law. So what's the halach in the situation? Am Ravina, Mishmei the Rava. Ravina said in the name of Rava. We turn to the Amud Beis. In Eishes Yisrael, if this woman had accepted kedushin from a non-kohen, so then chaletzis. Let her get chalitza from her ex-brother-in-law, her Yavam, because no big deal. She's marrying a Yisrael. Yisrael's allowed to marry a grusha or a chalutza. So get the chalitza, and this way, there's no questions, no problems. Choletzes, in this situation, Meshes Yisrael, he choletzes. However, in Meshes Koini, if she accepted Kedushin from a Kohen, now he's not allowed to marry a grusha or a chalutza. So then in this situation, if she were to go and get chalitza, even if it wasn't necessary, if she got chalitza, that would not allow her to stay married or get married to the kohen that gave her kiddushin. So therefore, he says, eino chaletzes. That's the opinion of Ravina in the name of Rava. On the other hand, Rav Shravia says, mishmei de Rava, he held that Rava held differently. Amar, he said, achazu yachazu, in both situations over here, chaletzes. She has to have a chalitza. Because maybe in this situation it was a viable child, maybe it wasn't. And if it's a viable child, so then she doesn't require anything. If it's not a viable child, then she required yibum or chalitza. And therefore, al safek, she has to have chalitza. Now, Ravina had said she doesn't require chalitza if he's married to a kohen. So, amale Ravina, Rav Shravia, Ravina said to Rav Shravia, be'urta amal Rav Hachi. You are reporting Rava correctly. That's what he said in the shir, when he gave the shir at night. However, the following morning, Litzafra Hadebe, he retracted his original statement, and therefore, while you are correct in accurately reporting what Rava said, you unfortunately have not heard the full conclusion of the story, and he changed his mind in the morning. So I'm giving you the final opinion of Rava, and you're giving us a preliminary opinion which he retracted. However, Rav Shravia did not like that. And Rav Shravia tells him, Amalei, Shirisua, you're permitting her to get married without chalitza? Yehei Rava, the tishus tarba. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should also permit you, so to say, that the fats of chalev, which are forbidden to be eaten, you're also going to say that those are kosher for a person to eat. Others say that it's not tarba. Others say that the word over here is tarcha. Tarcha is a word we use in Rahman al-Islam in a divorce setting. We call the woman a tarchasa. So she is considered a divorced woman. So he says, you're going to be out matering a divorced woman to a kohen as well. So in other words, Rav Shravi said, I do not think that Rava ever retracted his statement. The Shar Mitzion Balocha tries to explain this strange language that Rav Shravia says to Ravina, that you're going to permit over here this chaylev that's not normally able to be eaten. He says it's actually based upon a machlokus between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan as to what is the status of chaylev of a nefel. Rav Yochanan says that it has the exact same status as the chaylev of a behema and Yechayev Kores, and Reish Lakish says, no, it's only a lav. You're not Chayev Kores in this situation. So he says, this is the expression, he's saying you're going to be matir, the Kores of chaylev. That's what Rav Shravia is telling Ravina. Okay, in any event, Gemara now continues and quotes the Mishnah, which says, Rav Yehuda matir v'chule. Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah said that you are allowed to do, and mechuyev to do, a bris milah on an androgynous, whereas the Tanakhama said, no, the Sofek, as well as the androgynous, you're not allowed to do a meal on Shabbos. So I'm Rishisbi, I'm Ruchista. Rishisbi says the name of Ruchista, lo like all of Rav Yehuda androgynous Zohar. Not in regards to every single din did Rav Yehuda say that an androgynous is a Zohar. It's only in regard to doing a bris meal on Shabbos that Rav Yehuda said that an androgynous is considered a Zohar, that it's Docha Shabbos. If it's the eighth day, you can do the bris on Shabbos. Because Shema to Omer came, because if you're going to tell me that Rav Yehuda's opinion is that in every situation, the androgynous is considered a vadai zohar, shimata omakein, ba'arochin yarech. So then, how come in regards to the dinam of erechin, and the dinam of arochin, that a person has a certain evaluation based upon his gender and his age, do we not say that there's a value? If you say, I accept upon myself to give to Hektish the value, the erechin, of this androgynous, why don't we say that there's a value associated with that? And you're going to tell me, maybe we do. But we know that the din is that you're not ma'arech in this situation. You don't have to go and pay. Because it says in the Brisa, the Tanya, in the Sefra, it says, hazochar. The pasuk tells me only hazochar. That excludes from the din of arachin, of arachin, below tumtum v'androgynous. It excludes a tumtum. A tumtum has some sort of a membrane, a sheath covering up the genitalia. We don't know, is it male or female? And androgynous, we said several times, is both simone nakvus and zachrus. It both has male and female external genitalia characteristics. So therefore, I would have said, Yocho lo ye berech ish. I would have said, okay, you don't want to say it's a ish, so fine. Okay, don't make it pay the higher amount that you'd have to give to the hektish when you marech a zachar. So, okay, don't give the higher amount. But you should at least give the lower amount that is the valuation that the Torah requires you to give to tzedakah, to hektish, over here, when you take upon yourself, erek yolai, of this androgynous, at least as a woman. Talmud Lomar, it says no. It says Hazachar and it says Vim Nekevihi. What does that mean? Lomar Hazachar Vim Nekevihi comes to teach me that it has to be a Zachar Vadai or a Nekeva Vadayis. It has to be definitively a male or definitively a female below Tumtum the androgynous. And that would not allow Erechim to apply to a Tumtum and androgynous. Now, if Rabbi Yehuda said that across the board the androgynous is considered like a male, so then he would say that this would also require Erchin of a male. Since he doesn't, so clearly Rav Shizbi Amar Chissa says that Rav Yehuda doesn't hold across the board that androgynous is a male. There are exceptions to his statement. Our Mishnah, he holds that it requires bris milah on Shabbos, but wouldn't say that it's an androgynous in regards to Erchin, for example, that it's a male. Now he concludes his proof by saying, I specifically mentioned this Bryce is a Sifra. Ustam Sifra, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is the author of the Sifra. We have all the Talmidim of Rav Akiva that authored various brisos on different parts of Chumash, and Rav Yehuda, the Talmud of Rav Akiva, authored the Sifra, and this brisa came from the Sifra, so clearly this is Rav Yehuda's opinion. And therefore, when Rav Shizvi says that's lo lakol, here's the proof to that statement. Gemara concludes and says, Amrav Nachum Yitzchok, Afanan Amitnina. We said the same thing over here in the Mishnah. We learned the same thing. Hakol Ksherim Lekadesh. Everyone is capable, is eligible to go do making the Paraduma waters to mix the special Mayim Chaim with the ashes of the Paraduma. Hakok Shem Lakadish. Everybody can do this. However, certain exceptions, Chutz, not including Cheirish, Mecheirish, Shot, Vekotet. The classical three people that don't have Das. The Cheirish is the person who cannot hear and cannot speak. The Shot is a person that is defined as doing certain things. He's considered mentally incompetent. And Kotten is a child. No matter how smart he is, no matter how brilliant he is, he's under the age of Bar Mitzvah. He's also not eligible to do the Mechatis, make the Mechatis. That's the opinion of Tanakama. And Rav Yehuda, our Rav Yehuda says, Machshir Kotten. He says a Kotten is allowed to go and do this. Rashi brings down the reasons for this are discussed in the Gemara and Yuma in the third parak where this is discussed in great detail. However, and here's the point that's related to us, uposel b'isha, he doesn't allow a woman to do this, or the androgynous, he doesn't allow a person who's an androgynous to do this as well. So again, you clearly see, yishma mina, that not lekol, not for everything does Rav Yehuda qualify an androgynous as a male, a vade male, only in regards to bris milah and Shabbos, but not in regards to the preparations of the mechatas as well. So why, by Mila, does he allow a bris Mila to be done on Shabbos? Why doesn't he say there also, it's not a Vaday Zohar? So Gemara says, no, because we have a pasuk specifically telling us, according to Yehuda, Mishum Tachsiv, Himo Lechem Kol Zohar. You should go do a bris Mila on anybody, Kol Zohar. The extra word Kol, Rashi tells us, is a ribui, ribuyahu, and therefore that comes to include Zohar, and Kol Zohar comes to include even somebody who's an androgynous. With this, we conclude today's shir.